Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that I read a little earlier, Genesis chapter 6, right at the beginning of your Bibles, page 5, is where you find the story. I read the first 8 verses, but of course the story of the flood actually covers 3 chapters, and I do encourage you when you get home, do read through Genesis chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. You are reading about this flood that happened. When we read the Bible, we must always remember 2 things. We must remember in the first place that the Bible is history, and it is accurate history. There really was a flood. There really was a time when God spoke to a man called Noah, and God said to Noah that there's going to be a flood that's going to cover the whole earth. And God said to Noah, build an ark. And Noah did build an ark. And all the animals that God brought came, and they all entered the ark. And Noah and his family entered the ark. And there was a day when the heavens opened and rain came, and the depths of the earth opened, as the Bible says, and water came from under the earth. And there was a day when this entire earth, the whole globe, was surrounded, was covered in water. If we had been standing on the moon and looking at the earth, we would see nothing but water covering the whole earth. That really happened. We must never be in any doubt, and we must never start saying, well, that these things are just myths and legends. They're not myths and legends. This is historical truth. There really was a flood that covered the earth. So the first thing we must always remember when we read the Bible is that it is history. But there's a second thing we must always remember when we read the Bible, and it is this, that the Bible everywhere speaks about Christ. These stories that we read in the Bible, the story of the flood, the story of the people of Israel, slaves in Egypt, and going through the Red Sea into the wilderness, into dry land, these are all about Christ. They're all historically true, and they're all pointing to Christ. The Bible everywhere is pointing us to the Savior. So when we look at a story like this, yes, we must say it is historic truth, but we must always ask ourselves the question, what do I learn about Christ from this story? This story was written here to teach me about Christ. Well, what do I learn about Christ from this story? What is this story to teach me about the Lord Jesus? And so the theme of my sermon this morning is what the Ark teaches us about Christ. I have 3 lessons for you from the Ark about Christ. 3 things that I want to teach you about Christ from the Ark. And the first lesson is this. The Ark teaches us that Christ is the Savior sent from God. Christ is the Savior sent from God. Why do I say that? I say that because the Ark was a means of salvation designed by God. When you go home and read Genesis, and I urge you to read Genesis 6, 7 and 8, it is a somber story, it's full of warning, it's good for us to read this story. When you read these passages, you will find that the idea of the ark wasn't Noah's idea. It wasn't the idea of some human being. It's not the case that God said to Noah, I'm going to flood the earth because of sin. And Noah then sat down and thought, right, I'd better find a way of surviving this flood. And we're not told that Noah and his sons then sat down and had a little conference. And they said, look, a flood is coming. Let's design a way to escape this flood. The ark was not man's idea. It was not man's design. It was not man's provision. It was God's provision. God said to Noah, build an ark. God told Noah the materials with which he must build the ark. God gave Noah the measurements. It was God who said that it's going to be 75 feet wide and 450 feet long and 45 feet high and so on. These were God's measurements. This was God's provision. He was told the materials to use, he was given the design, he was given the measurements, and he was told how the outside is to be covered in pitch so that it would be waterproof. All of this came from God. And these things teach us that salvation is the provision of God. We, like the people in Noah's days, are in sin. Did you hear that verse 5 as I was reading that passage? The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that's a statement about human sin. That is saying we as human beings are in sin against God. We're in rebellion against God. We've turned away from God. We've gone into sin and we're following our own ways. We are just like the people of Noah's day. And just as they had a day of judgment coming, the day of the flood, we have a day of judgment coming. But God has provided the means to be saved through that judgment, just as he had provided the means to be saved in Noah's day. And the means we have isn't some wooden ark. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark is a type of Christ. The ark is a picture of what Jesus does. Those who were in the ark were saved because God had provided the ark. And God says, I will provide a means of salvation, and it is my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if people in those days had said, well, the ark is coming, the flood is coming. We don't want to go with Noah into the ark. I don't particularly like Noah. He's a religious man. I don't like these religious people. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll build our own boat. We'll, you know, there's plenty of wood around, and we can always pinch some wood from Noah's building site, and we'll build our own little boat. And so when the flood comes, me and my family will be in our little boat, and we will survive the ark. They wouldn't have survived the flood, because God had said the means of surviving the flood was the ark. And the means of surviving the judgment that is to come is Christ. Christ is the Savior whom God has sent. If there's any of you here this morning and you're saying to yourself, I'm a decent person, I'm a moral person, I'm a religious person, God knows that I'm sincere and God knows that I do my best to live a good life, a moral life, a religious life, and God on the day of judgment will acknowledge my efforts and my works and my religion, you are very mistaken. Your works are not the means that God has appointed for your salvation. Christ is the means whom God has appointed for salvation. And Christ is the only means whom God has ever appointed. There is no other person, no other means in the entire Bible that God has appointed as a means of salvation. Christ only. He is the Savior sent from God. If you trust in him, you will be saved. If you do not trust in him, but trust in your works, you will not survive the flood of the final judgment. So that is the first lesson that we learn from the ark, that Christ is the Savior sent from God. The second lesson that we learn from the ark is this, that Christ is the perfect Savior. Christ is the perfect Savior. God made a promise to Noah. And God said to Noah, you build this ark, and you go into the ark with your family, and you will survive the flood. Now the flood was torrential, the rains were torrential, and the floods came. And the Bible tells us that even the highest mountains were submerged. This is how high the flood was. We're not talking about the kind of floods that we see on our television screens. You know, in India there's been flooding because the monsoon has been particularly heavy. And we've been watching these pictures of Delhi in particular and how the water is this high. Well, that's bad. But this flood wasn't that sort of thing. This was a flood. The Bible tells us very clearly that even the highest mountains were covered. This is why I say, if you'd looked at the earth from outer space, you would see nothing. You wouldn't see the peaks of the mountains. You wouldn't see the tops of the trees. You wouldn't see the tops of the highest buildings. You would see nothing but water. This was this cataclysmic flood, this total flood. And Noah and his family entered the ark. And the flood remained on the earth, and it went on for week after week, month after month. The floods went on. And Noah and his family remained in that ark. And finally the waters began to recede. And the ark landed on top of a mountain, Mount Ararat. The ark landed on this mountain. And it remained there. And the waters kept receding and kept receding until finally the ground was dry. And Noah and his family, all who had entered the ark, came out of the ark alive. Not a single person who had gone into that ark died as a result of the flood. Every person who entered that ark, trusting in the means that God has provided, came out of that ark alive. You see where I'm going with this? Because the ark, as I say, is a picture of Christ. And the Bible makes us a promise. The Bible says to us, all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all who put their faith in Him, all who ask Him to save them, and all who trust Him for their salvation will be saved. There's not a shadow of a doubt. There's not any kind of uncertainty in this. When you read the Bible statements about those who've trusted in Jesus Christ, there is no uncertainty. There's no doubt here. All who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ have got their sins forgiven. The sins are gone. All who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ have been brought out of slavery to sin into God's kingdom. That has happened. All who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ have a place in heaven secured. Their name is on it. And God Himself guarantees that they will take up that place. Christ is the perfect Savior. All who were in the ark were saved. All who are in Christ will be saved. If you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've put your faith in Him, you know that He's your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter what happens to you. One day you will die. But if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God on the day of judgment won't have a long list of sins and say to you, you did this and you did this and you did this. God will not have any list. That list is wiped clean. The blood of Jesus has cleaned the list. All the sins are gone. Your sins have been washed in the blood of Jesus. They are gone. There is no sin. God does not deal with us according to our sins because our sins are gone. When you stand before God on the day of judgment and you've believed in the Lord Jesus, you've trusted in Him, the only words you will hear is, enter into the rest that has been prepared for you by my Father. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You will hear those welcoming words. You will not hear, you did this wrong and you did that wrong. Sins are gone because Jesus has dealt with them. God in Christ has promised to save all who believe in His Son. If you have believed in Jesus today, your salvation is guaranteed. There is a day of judgment coming. That day of judgment, well, the flood is as nothing compared to that day of judgment. There is a day of judgment coming. I warn you of this. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible presents us this picture, and it says the Lord Jesus will come and He will sit on His judgment seat, and all the nations of the world will gather before Him. And He will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So all will be judged. But those who have trusted in Christ have no sins, have no condemnation, have no guilt, have no uncleanness. Their sins are gone, their sins are forgiven, their consciences are cleansed, and they are in righteous in Christ. And so they will enter heaven because Christ is the perfect Savior. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus? Do you believe in Him? Is your faith in Him? Or are you trusting in your works? Are you in Christ? Have you trusted in Him? Christ is the perfect Savior. So we learn that Christ is the Savior sent from God. We learn that Christ is the perfect Savior. And then thirdly, we learn that Christ leads us into heaven. The whole story of the flood is a picture of judgment. The Lord Jesus Himself tells us this. There was a time when Jesus' disciples came to Him and said, "Tell us about when you're going to come back." And Jesus spoke about Noah and the flood. And Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns." And He says to them, just as they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the flood came and took them all away, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. So this whole incident is a kind of a picture. When we read this historic incident, we're sort of getting an idea, we're getting a picture of what happens when Jesus returns, when judgment comes. Well, what does happen? Well, what happens is God has provided the means of salvation in Christ as He had provided the means of salvation in the ark. And those who have trusted in Christ will be like those who have trusted in the ark, who've entered the ark. They will survive the judgment. And as Mike mentioned in his family talk, when that ark landed, it was rather like, now not completely, but it was rather like a new earth, because the old earth had been destroyed by the flood. And a new earth, as it were, came into existence. And Noah and his children inherited this new earth. They started life again on the new earth. Now, all of this is picture language. It is historic truth, but it is also picture language. And it teaches us what will happen when Jesus comes. There will be the judgment, just as there was the flood. And those who have not believed in Christ, those who are not in Christ, will be swept away. Just as in the flood, they were swept away. This is what Jesus Himself said. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of when the Son of Man returns. Two women will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Because that's what happened. Those who were outside of the ark were swept away. And those who were in the ark remained. And those who are in Christ remain. And those who are outside of Christ are taken away, are swept away. And so after this return of Christ, and after this judgment, there will be a new heavens and a new earth. This earth will be recreated. The curse that was pronounced upon it at the fall of Adam will be withdrawn. All the destruction and the sin that goes on will all be gone. It will be a perfect earth, sinless. No more will there be environmental damage. No more will there be human sin. No more will there be killing and dying and all that sort of thing. It will be a perfect earth. It will be the earth before the fall of Adam and Eve. And all who are in Christ will resume life on this new earth in their resurrection bodies. You see how the flood is a picture of what happens when Jesus returns. Those who are in Christ are like those in the flood. And they survive the flood. And they inherit this new earth. And this is what it is. It is this heaven that God has promised. A life of joy. A life where there is no sin, none of the effects of sin. But a perfect life where we know Christ, love Christ, walk with Christ, rejoice in Christ, and enjoy the fellowship of Christ. Christ will be all and in all to His people in the new heavens and the new earth. It's a picture that is presented in this incident. And it's a glorious picture. We don't think about heaven as much as we should. And you know, we should think about heaven. We should think about the world to come, this perfect world. We should think about how it will be a world of joy and a world of love and a world of peace, a love of perfect fellowship with God and perfect fellowship with God's people. This is the inheritance of God's people. All who have trusted in Christ will have heaven as their home. So the ark is this historic event, the flood is this historic event, and it teaches us about Christ. The ark was the design of God, provision from God. Christ is the provision of God, the only Savior. The ark saved those who were in it. Christ is the perfect Savior. All who trust in Him will be saved. I often picture, when I read that story, I often picture the completed ark and Noah standing outside the ark and Noah saying to people as they pass by, the flood is coming, but you enter through that door, you see that door to the ark, you enter through that door and you will be saved. I picture Noah saying this because the New Testament says Noah was a preacher. You know, that's how the New Testament writes of him. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And just as Noah pointed to a door, I want to point you to Christ. Christ said, I am the door. All who enter through me will be saved. Come to Him today. Enter through Christ. Believe in Christ. Trust in Christ. Put your faith in Christ. You will be saved. He is the perfect Savior. And He leads us to heaven.